have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable, it's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
A new look at the Bill of Rights after this on Viewpoints.
Remember the days when we used to make macaroni art for mom or re-gift items found around the house for Mother's Day? This year, show mom how much you appreciate her and all that she does with flowers from Pro Flowers. Pro Flowers is offering listeners 100 blooms with a free glass vase for just $19.99. Or make her day extra special and upgrade to a premium vase and add chocolates for just $9.99 more. Go to proflowers.com today and use my code VP. Their easy-to-use website makes buying a beautiful gift for mom simple and quick. Pro Flowers are guaranteed to be fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days. You just choose the delivery date you want, and it's guaranteed. Here is the only way to get 100 blooms with a free glass vase for just $19.99. Visit proflowers.com, click the blue microphone in the top right corner, and type in VP. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in VP. Order today. This offer expires Friday at midnight.
When you read the Bill of Rights, do you think of them as separate, somewhat unrelated additions to the Constitution? In school, most of us learn that the first 10 amendments are distinct items to be discussed and memorized as such. This struck Bert Newborn as wrong. Newborn is the Norman Dorson Professor of Civil Liberties at New York University Law School and former National Legal Director of the American Civil Liberties Union. He writes about why the Bill of Rights needs to be read and understood as a whole in his new book, Madison's Music, on reading the First Amendment. He came to this realization one day while he was learning how to use the word processing program on his laptop.
I typed the Bill of Rights out and was practicing on highlighting portions of it and moving it around to learn how to move text around. I realized as I was doing it that everything I moved to any other place felt wrong. It felt like it was in the wrong place, that if I picked the second clause of the First Amendment up and moved it and put it at the end, it was wrong. It didn't read right. Or if I took the Second Amendment and put it where the Sixth Amendment was, that was the wrong place for it. And I thought first, it's just a question of habit. I must be so used to seeing it that way that it's a new thing. And then I said to myself, wait a minute, is there something there that I haven't seen all these years? Is there really a deep structure to the First Amendment and to the Bill of Rights itself, which will help us read it, will help us understand it, the same way that there would be a deep structure to a great poem or something like that?
Newborn wondered if there was a story in the Bill of Rights that would help us to read it more richly and more accurately.
And sure enough, when I really spent a little time with it, I was astonished that the deep structure was there. I think we used to know about it in the 19th century, but we've essentially forgotten it. And instead, we read it as a series of unrelated words. It's as though the founders took a pot of ink and threw it at the wall, and they let the splatter of the ink decide the order and structure of the Bill of Rights, as though it's all random. And of course, it's not random. It's there in a very carefully, brilliantly organized way. It's really Madison's genius. He was not a particularly creative thinker, but he was a brilliant organizational and brilliant structural thinker.
Madison could have put together just a laundry list of amendments for the Bill of Rights, and that's often how we think of it today. But Newborn says he wrote it so that it evolved in a very logical way.
There are 45 words in the First Amendment. Take the six clauses. There are six clauses in those 45 words. The Establishment Clause, which says that we can't establish a religion. The Free Exercise Clause, that says we're entitled to freely exercise our religion. The Free Speech Clause, which says we can speak freely. The Free Press Clause, the Free Assembly Clause, and the Free Petition Clause. like eggs, milk, and paper bags. It doesn't much matter what order they're in. They're just six ideas, and they're just a laundry list. Or is there something really special about the fact that he starts with religion? He starts with what, in the 18th century, would be the strongest idea of conscience. They didn't have a particularly strong secular conscience and idea in those years. We have now. But in those years, conscience was essentially a religious idea. And so he starts with two clauses that protect the free conscience of a free person living in a free democracy. And that's the place where democratic ideas begin.
Once someone has an idea, their right to articulate it needs to be protected. And that's the freedom of speech clause in the amendment. Newborn says that the next part, freedom of the press, lets that idea be disseminated to the mass public through the media.
So then Madison says, well, once the mass public knows about it, what are they supposed to do? Well, they engage in collective action in support of the idea. That's the Assembly Clause. The Assembly Clause is right where it's supposed to be, after the Press Clause, because you then have collective action, you organize, and then the final clause is the Petition Clause, where you actually take it directly to the legislature, put it on the floor of the legislature, and demand that they vote on it. If you think about it for a moment, those six ideas are the arc of a democratic idea, an idea that is formed in the free conscience of a free citizen, freely articulated, freely disseminated in a mass basis to the population. The population then is freely allowed to organize around it with collective action and then freely submit it for a petition. You couldn't take a single word in that amendment and move it to another place without destroying the structure.
Not only is the First Amendment written in a structured way, Newborn says the other amendments and the entire Bill of Rights is also written in this way.
The Second and Third Amendments are amendments that deal with military overthrow, because the founders realized that the greatest threat to any democracy is military overthrow. If you look at the history of democracies in the world, 90% of all democracies eventually succumb to some sort of military overthrow. So the founders put in there a protection, a structural protection in the Second Amendment by creating a shadow army, the shadow army of the entire people, armed and capable of defending the democracy against a military that doesn't look like them, against a military that is an unrepresentative organ. Now, during the 19th century, the militia, which was the shadow army, collapsed. It just fell out of use. So the question is, what's the meaning of the Second Amendment today? What the Second Amendment should say to us today, if we read it in a structured way, is that everybody has a right to bear arms. Everybody has a right to bear arms in defense of democracy, not to go off in some isolated place in the country and wall yourself off from society with a gun, but to be a functioning member of the democracy and to help protect it. That's what the Second and Third are.
The Fourth through Eighth Amendments are about law enforcement and the courts. Newborn says they also follow in perfect order and paint a picture of how people must be protected from the government if they're suspected or arrested for a crime.
They are organized as a perfect chronological story of the criminal investigation. The Fourth Amendment deals with investigation and arrest. The Fifth Amendment deals with interrogation and charging. The Sixth and Seventh Amendment deal with adjudication, and the Eighth Amendment deals with punishment. It couldn't be more perfect. That is an exact replica of what the criminal procedure system looks like.
The Ninth and Tenth Amendments are about the people's rights and the government's powers and how the Constitution should be read.
The Ninth Amendment says read rights as broadly as possible. The Tenth Amendment says read powers very narrowly. And if you simultaneously read rights broadly and powers narrowly, you'll keep yourself free as a people. So if we would only read it that way, instead of insisting that they're just isolated words on a piece of paper, if we would read it as a great story of a functioning democracy and a great story of institutionally how we protect that functioning democracy, I think much of our constitutional law would change.
Newborn says that in his opinion, reading the Bill of Rights as isolated words has led to some bad decisions by the Supreme Court and bad laws that are eroding our freedoms so carefully outlined by James Madison. He cites the campaign financing laws that allow corporations and unions to spend as much as they want to influence voters to support one candidate over another.
The Supreme Court campaign finance decisions that have created a democracy for the rich are just wrong. It can't be that the First Amendment forces us into a democracy for the rich when the whole First Amendment is about having democracy work best. It seems to me that if one were to realize the linkages there, one would immediately say that the campaign finance decisions are wrong. And there are 5-4. 4 of the justices think they're wrong. And it's just going to take one more vote to push them over.
Newborn says that if Madison could come back and see how his Bill of Rights had been interpreted, he'd be appalled. He said that the founders wouldn't want so much power vested in the super wealthy, and the government spying on people's personal phone calls, emails, and other private behaviors.
The last kind of government I was thinking about was a government that was free to spy on its people virtually without any kind of constraint, because somehow they could sneak through the white spaces in between the Fourth and Fifth Amendments and find little places to hide. One of the benefits of reading the Bill of Rights the way I urge people to read it, that the Fourth through the Eighth Amendments are an integrated whole dealing with the criminal procedure area, is that it doesn't leave the government any white spaces to hide in. It becomes a structural protection of individual liberty against government intrusion, one of which is inappropriate surveillance. And you wouldn't be able to engage in the kinds of surveillance they engage in now. You wouldn't be able to put undercover people into mosques and have them set people against each other, at least not without the kind of judicial supervision that is required whenever you conduct a search.
Newborn says it's not just the Supreme Court that's to blame, but also the lawyers who bring cases before the justices.
American lawyers have forgotten to ask them to read the whole text. They've forgotten to ask them to please pay attention to democracy. The frustration that drove me to write the book was my career has been a career as legal director of the ACLU, as a civil rights lawyer. My first Supreme Court appearance was in the 1960s. So I care about the institution and I care about the rules. But over the years, I've seen us get further and further and further away from the democratic structure that is the core of the First Amendment and the Bill of Rights. And in some sense, it's not the court's fault anymore because lawyers have stopped making the argument. And the public simply accepts it.
Newborn says that we should not rely solely on lawyers and judges to tell us what the Bill of Rights means and how it should be interpreted. Instead, he encourages Americans to read it more carefully on their own.
I would appreciate it if they would take a look at the book. But more importantly, I would appreciate it if what they would do is take their First Amendment out. Take their Bill of Rights out. Look at it. Read it. See it. You don't have to be a lawyer to do this. Read the text. Read the Ten Amendments. Take them for a walk outside. Give them a little fresh air. And see if they don't tell you a story that helps you understand the text better.
For ideas on how the Bill of Rights should be read, you can pick up Bert Newborn's book, Madison's Music, at stores and online. For information on all of our guests, log on to our site at viewpointsonline.net. You can find archives of past programs there and also on iTunes and Stitcher. Our show is written and produced by Pat Reuter. Our production directors are Sean Waldron, Reed Pence, and Nick Hofstra. I'm Marty Peterson.
GEICO is available 24/7. Unlike Billy, my boyfriend, who is apparently available 24/7. And with GEICO's claim status update, after I report a claim, I receive update alerts through my GEICO app. Did you hear that, Billy? Update. Alerts. I sure would like to be updated on why you can't return a text. Maybe I should just be dating GEICO.
Claim status updates. Just a few taps away on the GEICO app.
When the leading antihistamine and Nasacort go nose-to-nose, Nasacort wins, stopping more of the chemical responses that can cause your nasal allergy symptoms. And when you stop more causes, you get 24-hour relief from sneezing, an itchy runny nose, even congestion. It's prescription-strength medicine available over-the-counter. Nasacort Allergy 24-Hour. Stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.